When Jesus Christ came from all eternity, He came and He became 100% man. Remember when He was born as an infant? Never lost His deity as God. But He experienced all the suffering and yet never ever once sinned against the Father. Perfect man, perfect God, Jesus.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul has lived in relationship with Christ for nearly 50 years. He's confident that God's Word is true and Jesus isn't just a good man, but the divine Son of God and the sinless Savior of the world. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 for a free DVD of Raul's testimony. We're glad you've joined us today as Raul returns to the book of Hebrews for a reassuring look at the person and work of Jesus. Examining Christ's dual role as our High Priest and Eternal King, you'll see that He truly is all you need now and for all time. Stay with us to boost your faith as you explore how Jesus paved the way for your salvation and now sits at God's right hand interceding on your behalf. Here's Raul Reese with today's lesson.
We begin here in chapter 7, beginning with verse 1. He says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him." You notice that he has two titles, king of Salem, and notice, and the priest of the Most High God, king of righteousness he's called. And you know what's really beautiful? The name Melchizedek in the Hebrew, Melchi means king and Sedek means righteous. King of righteousness. King of Salem is literally Salem. It means in the Hebrew peace. But also it is a reference to the ancient city of Jerusalem, which was held at one time by the Jebusites until they were kicked out in the time of David. David defeated them. And he ran them out of Jerusalem, and David took Jerusalem and secured it, which is so beautiful. And then check this out, verse 2. It says, "To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem," meaning king of peace. Here for the first time in the Bible, we see man paying a tithe, a tenth. When we think of giving to God something, usually people think of giving what is left over. It doesn't work that way. And I have found out as a pastor and just as a person that you cannot ever outgive God in anything you do for Him. He is always there to provide for your needs if you're faithful in giving to God what belongs to God. Which is so beautiful. And so I just really want to encourage you, according to the scriptures, that even Abraham, coming out of heathenism, becoming a believer in God, immediately, without even being told, what does he do? He responds, even before the law was given, and he gives a tenth of everything that he has in his spoils, and he gives it to Melchizedek, the king of Salem, the king of righteousness. The king of Salem making king of peace. And then in verse 3, he says, here again, notice the uniqueness of Melchizedek, which I believe is Jesus Christ here. Here we see the qualifications: without father, notice, without mother, without genealogy, that is, without ancestry, and what else? Having neither beginning of days, nor end of life, but made, here it is, like the Son of God, capital S, capital G, like the Son of God, remains a priest, what? Continually, or, notice, forever. Psalm 110:4. Jesus, Melchizedek in the Old Testament. Isn't that beautiful? Here, Paul confirms it again. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days or nor life. What? That's his deity. And been made like the Son of God and remains, notice, a priest forever, where an earthly priest would be saved and serve for 30 years. And then when he would become old, he would die. But not Melchizedek. He lives forever. Forever and ever and ever. There's only one, Jesus, the Son of God, in the Old Testament and here in the New Testament. And then check this out, the proof of his greatness in verse 4 now through verse 10. He says, now consider how great this man was. So here he's going to tell you, now consider how great Melchizedek was, to whom even, notice, the Old Testament leaders, Abraham, gave a tenth of the spoils, of the portion, not from everyone's tithe, but personally. When he came back, he didn't take the 10% of what they took from their enemies. He paid himself personally a tenth of his own spoils. Notice that, individually. How did he know that? The Lord leading him, man. How beautiful. He knew that it belonged to God. He gave God the best of what he possessed. When he uses the word he gave in the Greek, it means a one-time act, which means it's not from his regular income. It was from that one act of taking upon his enemies and wiping them out and taking their spoils. He paid from that a tenth to God, the best of what he had in himself. He gave it to them, to Melchizedek, which is so cool here. And so we see his obedience to the Old Testament, his obedience to the Word of God. And then notice the responsibility here of the priest in verse 5. And indeed, those who are the sons of Levi. So now he's going to speak to the priests, earthly priests. He's pointing out here that the Levites' ability to collect tithes came from what? Came from the provision made by the law as the people gave to the priest, to the tabernacle, to the place of worship, to do the work of God. That's what it's all about. It's not for ourselves. It's for the work of God. Notice that. So he goes on to say, and indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi, who receive the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law. Notice that God commanded it. That is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. The law was given at the time of Moses, not at the time of Abraham, you see? And when the law was given by Moses, how they were to pay their tithe, the people were obedient to giving their tithe to the tabernacle, to the priesthood. Verse 6, but he, Melchizedek, whose genealogy is not derived from them, you see, he doesn't have a human genealogy here. Notice that, how beautiful this is. He whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promise. You see, Jesus was from the tribe of Judah. The Levites were from the tribe of Levi. So here he says, but he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promise. So what is he saying? The greatness of Melchizedek and the greatness of Jesus Christ, greater than any priest, earthly priest, greater than any of them. And if they receive the tithe, can you imagine how much more Jesus or Melchizedek was to receive the tenth? Amazing how Paul brings this out here in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Verse 6, again, but he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had not the promises again. Notice, and now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is who? Abraham is blessed by the better. Isn't that neat? Melchizedek. The lesser is blessed by the better. So here we see the greatness also of who? Not Melchizedek, only Abraham being blessed of God, even later on when he could not have any children. But God promised him that he would have a son and that he would be the son of promise. Remember that, Isaac? That he would come and he would be in the line of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So here God making the promises to him. Verse 8. He says, here mortal men receive tithes, but there he received them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Here the writer is talking about the Jewish people. That the what? The mortal man dies, but not Jesus or Melchizedek, a type of Christ, is eternal. When Jesus Christ came from all eternity, he came and he became 100% man. Remember when he was born as an infant? Never lost his deity as God. But he experienced all the suffering. He experienced all the pain. And yet never ever once sinned against the Father. Perfect man, perfect God, Jesus. Then he says in verse 9 again, how Levi paid the tithe to Melchizedek. Even Levi, notice, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak. In the Greek there is, has tithe through Abraham. Verse 10, for he, Levi, was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met. I mean, Levi wasn't even born yet. And yet, Abraham set up the model for everybody else. As he came and he began to give to Melchizedek. And then in chapter 7, verse 11 now to 25, we have the doctrinal argument about Christ and Aaron. He says, therefore, because of this, what I just told you in past verses, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek? I mean, if the early priest was enough, then Jesus and Melchizedek would have never had to come. You see? But it wasn't perfect. It was imperfect. That's why they had to come. Notice. He says, what further need was there that another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron? Moses' brother, the one in charge of the priesthood. He was the high priest at the time when Moses was ruling, his brother. Verse 12, for the priesthood being changed of necessity, there is also a change of the law. Notice that. He's talking about the law, and there are different things concerning the law. The law was the Ten Commandments. The law also signified what? It signified the ceremonial law. The one that was written for us in the book of Exodus. But here again, he's talking about this law. This is not the Ten Commandments, but this is a ceremonial law given. And here he's talking about how you had to be from the tribe of Levi, and Jesus came from the tribe of who? Judah, not Levi. See? Judah, not Levi. And yet Jesus, a type in the Old Testament, Melchizedek of Christ. Again, confirming what the Word of God had said. Then he goes on to say in verse 13, for he, notice, Jesus, of whom these things are spoken, belongs to another tribe, from which no man has officiated at the altar. So here he's arguing the problem of Jesus becoming greater than who? Than the priesthood, the earthly priesthood. Jesus is greater than all of them. That's why the Pharisees were flipping out when Jesus came. They couldn't handle it. Because he said, before Abraham, I was. They were flipping out. They couldn't believe it. Are you 50 years old and you say you've seen Abraham? Yep. Before Abraham, I was. And I've always been Jesus. Verse 14, for it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning the priesthood. And it is yet far more evident if, in the likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest. I love the way the scripture writes. Notice again what he's saying. And if yet far more evident, if in the likeness of Melchizedek, a type, that arises another priest. So he's a type of Jesus, Melchizedek. Verse 16. Who was to come, not according to the law of the fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. Notice that the old commandment was disabled when Jesus Christ came. He did what? He came to fulfill the law. We are under grace now, not under law. Verse 17, for he testifies, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Again, notice confirming it. Jesus. For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness. You see, the law was weak. That's why Christ came to fulfill the law. Verse 19. For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing of a better hope through which we draw near to God now. Notice that, how beautiful that is. He's saying here that in Hebrews here, you find the word pointing to Jesus that better than anything that has ever existed. Better than the priesthood, better than any sacrifice. Jesus is it. He's the main thing. And then he says this, inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath. Not made a priest without an oath. Notice that. What does the law do? It makes us all guilty. It points us that we need redemption. We need to be covered by the blood. We need forgiveness. And that's why Jesus Christ came into the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus. Now in verses 26 to 28, now we see here the practical argument, Christ and the believer. Now, in the days of Jesus, they were interpreting the law in a physical and material way, not in a spiritual way. That's why the Pharisees had a hard time reading the Bible, reading the law, and then making up their own things. Imagine, they took 10 commandments and they made 613 commandments. Out of 10 commandments, they made 613. Because they were so into being critical and self-righteous and pointing the finger all the time to their self-righteousness. Notice that. So here he says now that because of Jesus Christ, you know, we now have a better sacrifice, because in reality, they would violate, in the Old Testament, they would violate the spiritual law. And then at the same time, Jesus comes along in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And what does he do? He gives them the Sermon on the Mount. Wow. And you read the Sermon on the Mount, man, it's amazing. Amazing. But he spoke it to his disciples. So here we have it. Verse 21. For they have become priests without an oath or without God, but he with an oath by him who said to him, notice from Psalm 110:4, the Lord has sworn and I will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. There it is again. Confirmation. Confirmation of who Melchizedek is. A type of Jesus Christ. Verse 22. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety, notice, of a better covenant. Better covenant. That is the Old Testament and the New Testament here, literally. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. You see, he talks about how they were sinful and they had to die. After serving, natural death came. They died, but not Melchizedek and not Jesus. The priest would die, and then a new one was appointed. And not so with Jesus. He was the priest of all priests, once and for all. He came. He lives forever. Verse 24, but he, Jesus, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. He's our high priest. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords, Jesus himself. Verse 25, therefore, because of this, he is also able to save to the uttermost, or let me say, to the guttermost. Isn't that true? He saved every one of us out of the gutter. Took us out of the gutter and saved us and gave us his salvation. He gave us his grace. He gave us his mercy. Notice that. So again he says, therefore, Jesus is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Jesus, since Jesus always lives and makes intercession for them. Isn't that neat? Jesus at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and for me. Beautiful. So he's talking about this salvation, the greatest salvation that can be given only through Jesus Christ. When you come to him, he is the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. For there is no other, no other, not Mary, not Buddha, not Krishna, not Muhammad, nobody else but Jesus. He's the only way and the only truth. Verse 26, for such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. Isn't that neat? Notice Jesus, not man's order, but God's order, who does not need daily as those high priests, which means what? He doesn't have to sacrifice. We have to sacrifice. The priests had to sacrifice in the Old Testament because they were earthly. He's heavenly. Notice that. And then he says to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins. He had no sin. Notice. And then for the people's, talking about the priest. For this he did, check this out, underline it, once and for all he offered up himself. He atoned for himself once and for all. That's it. It's a done deal.
We hope you've been uplifted by today's assurance that as a believer, Christ's sacrifice for your sin was final, and his free gift of salvation is yours for all eternity. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Now, if you'd like to review today's program, we'll send you a complete CD copy for a donation of $5 or more. To obtain that, just call 800-634-9165 and ask for Raul's teaching from Hebrews chapter 7. We'd also like to tell you about a new CD series from Raul simply titled Faith. Putting your trust in Jesus is a conscious daily choice, and this audio pack will equip you with the biblical foundation you need to stand firm and unwavering in even the most difficult seasons of life. As you explore how to persevere with hope in the unseen, you'll also discover the rich spiritual blessings that come from walking with the Lord in true surrender. To purchase Raul's new 4-message faith series, visit us online at somebodylovesyou.com or call 800-634-9165, and we'll send you the CD collection for a gift of $20 or more. Our phone number once again is 800-634-9165. Or if you'd like to order by writing us, the mailing address is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We also invite you to experience our many free Somebody Loves You resources. For convenient access to Bible-based teaching at your fingertips, be sure to download our app to your iPhone or Android. You can also enjoy Straight Talk with Raul on his YouTube channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. West Coast time. This Q&A program shines a scriptural spotlight on current world issues, and it's free to all of Raul's YouTube subscribers. Now, for additional teaching, you can download any Somebody Loves You radio program as a podcast using Spotify or iTunes. We're committed to helping you grow in wisdom and faith through the powerful truth of God's Word. If you have any ideas about new ways we can serve you, we'd love to hear from you, and let us know how we can pray for you as well. This ministry is made possible through listeners like you. Your tax-deductible donations help keep these broadcasts on the air. We hope you'll join us again next time for another encouraging word from Hebrews. You'll see that God's covenant promise of salvation was forever sealed by Christ's ultimate sacrifice, so now you can have absolute confidence of eternal life in Him. Here's Raul now, once again, with the closing comment.
Verse 28, for the law, appoints as high priest men who have weaknesses, but the word of an oath, which came after 600 years later, the law, appoints the Son of God, Jesus, who has been, notice, consecrated forever and ever, once and for all. I love it, man. Talk to Catholics with the scripture. Talk to Muslims with the scriptures. Show them what the Bible says. Once and for all, we don't have to do anything anymore. It's a done deal. Salvation is a free gift of God to anyone that wants to be saved. And if you're not saved and you don't reach out to Jesus, the Bible says you will perish and you'll go to hell and eventually end up in the lake of fire. I am falling
in love. This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.